David.
Okay, so I'll give you a real quick history. I came in, I got sober in September 15th, 1988, and I was in a rehab, in a self-help, whatever you call it, rehab for 23 months. So, yeah, the thickest substance known to man. Some are thicker than others, and I'm probably thicker than most. I got out. I went to 90 meetings, 90 days. My sponsor that I had in the rehab, actually, I asked him while I was in the rehab, put me right into general service work in, and maybe I'm not supposed to use her name, but in another fellowship regarding cocaine. And I did a lot of service work at a kind of like a very like a upper level type of stuff because the amount of sobriety I had. In those days back in CA, you had 2 years, you were like a god because nobody got 2 years. They all, kind of typical scenario in CA at that time was you got the girlfriend, you got the apartment, you got the job, you got the car, you got loaded. So that happened quite often. One guy I was working that was working with me took me through the steps kind of like this way like the beginning of it. He was getting it like second generation. He was handing it down to me, and back then you had to listen to these Joe Hawk tapes from the Sally Salvation Army in Santa Monica that he recorded in the 80s. And yeah, we did that. His spiel was, which kind of hooked me, was when he showed me the title page, and he said, if you do this triangle equilateral positions or amount, that his catchphrase was, you'll become one with the universe. And when he said that, like a light bulb went off in my head, because I had been looking pretty much for this shit all my life. In step six, that's exactly what happened. He got the girl, he got the apartment, he got the car, he got loaded. I was still doing a lot of meetings in CA and out in the West Side. I live in Los Angeles, California. West Side would be like West LA, Santa Monica, Culver City area. And I saw my current sponsor. Well, not current. Dan Sherman was sponsor for 25 years. And he passed in 2016, and I was crushed when he died. And I walked away from the home group. I was in that home group with him and Joe and all of Joe's, I call them cronies, or back then we used to call them Joe bots. And Dan never said it, but whatever Joe said pretty much went. I mean, when he said something, everybody kind of like followed him, because he was like, we had a group that had a leader, and he was our leader. So I stayed loyal and faithful for, I had a running commitment in that group for 22 years. I had one break for 6 months. We moved from Second and Hill Street, and we changed the structure of the meeting, and instead of having a secretary, because the secretary can't vote, we had a chairperson, so chair people can vote. Because the meeting had gotten so small when Joe moved to India that there was only like a handful of us left, and so we changed everything around. We moved, and so to make a long story short, when Dan died, I pretty much walked away from the fellowship. I walked away from a lot of, pretty much walked away from, I was really angry. By then, I was kind of taking like a tally sheet of like every year from like 2010, somebody would die. So I kind of blamed God for taking people, because these people that were dying were all the people that I was intimate with. Most of them were males, but I had discovered I could have an intimate relationship with another person, and it didn't have to necessarily be female. So I kind of gave up my commitment at the home group, kind of walked away. I was really angry. Like I said, every year, like, kind of started with, like, Don Fritz died, and then it was Mark, and then it was Joe, and then it was a friend of mine, and then it was, so every year, like, for a while, like, a lot of people were dying, and I was pretty angry. Recently, I went through a workshop with an old friend of mine who I'd known for quite a while, and the first step was a little different than what I'm used to. Is that me? So anyways, first step was a little different this time, even though we used the BBA as the outline, because my friend that took me through the work, he'd been friends with Dan. I knew this guy Mike from when I was doing the service work in CA, when I right came out of the rehab, and he was a teenager then. And but he was a pretty smart, he's a really smart guy, and very computer savvy. And but the message kind of changed. So the message, that's not the message. I think it's, I changed. I had found out that, I mean, underneath all of it is alcohol, and I'm a freebase addict. I smoke crack, but most of it was freebase. So I'm both. Back in the old days, Joe didn't believe you could be both, even though his number one sponsee was both. But and I'm both. So, but lately I've discovered that I have a different level of what you would call powerlessness. And so this time through the work, we made two lists. So one of the lists was things I'm trying to stop doing but can't stop doing, and things I'm trying to get done but can't get done. Mm-hmm. So on my list were a lot of things, mainly current unmanageability. And so lose weight, exercising consistently, be more consistent with 10 and 11, stay in meditation. Good luck with this one. Controlling my unmanageability, be more nice to my mom, and not be an aggressive driver, and eating red meat. And so the other list was eating candy and sugar, getting frustrated when my mom would ask me a question, staying up late at night, obsessing over my finances, justifying and comparing my spirituality to others, being controlling, watching porn and masturbating, eating red meat. So I'm not cured. I'm still eating red meat, but it's grass-fed, so I think that's okay. And I don't eat a lot of it like I used to. But most of those things on the list kind of fell off. I had a coffee today, which was the first time in about 2 months, and I'm kind of like a little hyper because I'm not used to the caffeine. I don't do caffeine on a regular basis, so that's another thing that kind of I should have put that on the list, but I didn't. But I've had like unbelievable amount of movement in those areas. So when I work with people, and when we go through the steps, and I went through the steps with Dan, and then recently with this guy, we do the third step. We read it out of the original manuscript, and then I use the original manuscript in 10 and 11. So the original manuscript, actually your nightly review is in the morning, because with me, when I used to work, it seemed like I had a clearer head in the morning than I do when I came home at night after work, and that was all. So actually in the BBA, the unmanageability starts on page 45, on page 44, which is the first opening line in chapter of We Agnostics, and goes to the top paragraph 45, and then it jumps to, which I'm supposed to be talking about, I haven't got much time left, but on page 52, which is the unmanageability, and that's kind of cool, because actually unmanageability, right, there's hardly any mention of alcohol, right? So it says, we ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. So personal relationships, that's like Al-Anon, right? That's like chaos and confusion, right? That's like my relationships with people around me, right? Especially the people I'm close to. We couldn't control our emotional natures. In case you haven't noticed, I'm Japanese. I'm third generation. I was born here in the United States, and my mom and dad were both born here in the United States. So I'm what you call a sansei, which is third generation Japanese. Both my grandparents on both sides of my family were born in Japan. I have like old school morals, I guess, they tried to impress that upon me when I was a child. It didn't stick, but some of it did. Denial is one thing that definitely runs in race, and probably has been for millennia. Most Japanese can't admit that they don't have any power, and that's why most of us die from this disease or from this ailment. Right. Or I guess in the old days, I guess they just committed suicide. I'm really out of touch with what happened back in the old country. But so with me, controlling my emotional natures is like, when I went to the rehab, they gave me that feelings chart, with all the little faces on it, the little, the stick figure guy or whatever. And I read all of them, and I said, oh, you know what? I drank over all those things. I have no idea what it is to be like that. I said, I've been drinking since I was like 8 years old. I get one of those kind of feelings, and I get drunk or I get loaded. So I don't know what it's like to sit with those emotional states until I got sober. So I've never really had, alcohol control over those emotional nature, but it wasn't me, because I couldn't handle any of those things like aggression or any of that stuff that was on that chart. I drank over it, so I never sat with them long enough, so I didn't know what emotional natures were. Pretty much I grew up in this program. Dan groomed me and I somewhat matured here. I cry over action adventure movies. That's how much control I have over my emotions now, which for me is a good thing, right? And I always tell the people I work with, crying is laughter of the soul, and laughter is essential in my book if you want to stay sober. It says we are prey to misery and depression. So I kind of use an example I ask my guys when I work with them, I said, what do you envision when you hear the word prey? Like, what do you envision? I envision an eagle, right, soaring up in the heavens, right? And then seeing a mouse down a mile away, because he has 20/40 vision, right? He swoops down on the mouse. So that's what I think when I think of prey, right? Birds of prey. We're the mouse when it comes to depression, right? we're prey to misery and depression.
Mm.
So, yeah, we're the food for prey. Right? So that's what I'm prey to, misery and depression. Could make a living. We're not talking monetarily, even though a lot of people in CA have that pretty much confused of what wants and needs are. We're talking about the quality of your life,
mm-hmm.
Center of your being, that kind of thing, making a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. I think everybody has that. My shame and guilt started very, 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 very early.
Mm-hmm.
We were full of fear. By me running away from my fear when I was 3 to 8 years old, compounded my sense of uselessness, right? Mm. So it kind of works, it's kind of like, you know, kind of like works in reverse, right? Mm. We were unhappy, because I couldn't appreciate who I was.
Mm.
I didn't know who I was, right? We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. 12 step, right? Practicing these principles in all of my affairs. Am I effective? And what is the quality of my effectiveness?
Mm.
Am I really getting through to people? Right? You know, am I really genuinely, right, practicing the principles? And am I really, am I really honoring the you know, for me, because I'm really into, I'm not really a book guy. I have really poor comprehension skills, but I really like the St. Francis prayer. In fact, I even went to that church, the Assisi. I actually went there when I was in Europe in 2016. Actually, the month after Dan died, I was in Europe, I went to that place and I got some stuff, and so I'm really into that prayer, as far as, I really get that one about, I always thought that, I always try to place my selfish self-centeredness on other people, so wind it up.
That's just your 5-minute warning.
Okay. So, I lost my train of thought, sorry. So I always thought that, for many years that, I want to be understood, right? I want you to think that I'm important, right? That I need to be understood. And come to find out, you know what? I need to be understanding, not to be understood. And once God can give me enough power and enough humility to actually start practicing that, then all those other things start unfolding. Right? I can replace, harmony with discord. And probably one of the biggest things that happened to me recently in the last few months is, right, that I mean bring light to the shadows, darkness. Because if you really knew how dark it was in my world for so long, you wouldn't love me, or you wouldn't like me. So I shivered in this darkness of running away from my fear, from my own inadequacies, and it started very, very early. And that's what I got to see recently. Actually, most of it came up in the realization in step in, after the third column. So what we do recently in this workshop is we write the same, the same stuff as out of the BBA, except we take it to a different level. Like, where am I currently, with self-esteem? Right, in conjunction to the second column. And when I get to the realization, it's like there's layers, right? So yeah, the most common one, the one that's in, you know, that's in the workbook is have I done the things to column one that I resented in column two? Have I done that to him or others? Right? So, yeah. So, and then, so we look at, okay, well, where did that come from? All right, so there's another layer there where that same dysfunctionality came from. And then when did that come and why? Right, so there's a few more layers of realization. And so you get down to where I see a lot of this came from, well, most of it came from me running away. Or trying to mask that fear that, you know, that I started building this, like, it's kind of like an armor of self-reliance. You know, I was in so much shame and so much guilt, so much fear about how I looked. I started getting armor, you know. So I can keep you out here, and I can keep in the delusion that I can keep myself safe. Well, that is the basis of self-reliance, that I think I can do this. Mm-hmm. I think I can keep myself safe. You know what I mean? And it was fucking devastating. I mean, it blew me open to a level that I had never seen before. And I've been doing this work a long, long, long time. But this time, you know, I've, you know, I was graced with really getting some freedom. I'm truly grateful. So today my life is a lot different. I have a very disciplined 10 and 11, even though I do my 10 in the morning. I do a little reflection at night and kind of like, but nothing as thorough as the one in the morning. And then I do my 11th step in the morning. I do my upon awakening. And I haven't had a discipline like this ever. I've been doing it, I've been graced with being having to do it for the last 3 months, pretty much. I think I missed once, which is remarkable. I just started doing a little reading, and like I said, my reading skills are really poor, but yeah, I've been really having a great time with this time through. It's been unbelievable. It can happen for me, it can happen for you. So I hope that helps. Didn't have enough time to cover unmanageability too well, so but I hope something I said well. Thanks.